Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease, and in today's episode, we're going to discuss the family. More specifically, we're going to talk about guarding and protecting the environment in which we raise our family. Stay tuned. Genesis chapter 1 through 3 offers probably some of the most straightforward and significant teaching regarding the family and how we need to protect our family. Genesis chapter 1 starts by saying, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." This is significant when we talk about the family because we understand that there is meaning to life. Because there is a creator, we are created with a purpose. And so as parents, we need to ensure that we're teaching our children about God. Not only do we need to teach our children about God, we have to teach our children that they have a purpose, and we have to teach them where they can find that purpose. In addition to that, we have to parent like you have a purpose, and we have to parent like they have a purpose. And what I mean by that is our existence is not random. And so since our existence is not random, then our parenting shouldn't be random either. We should be intentional in what we teach our kids. We should be intentional in what we're allowing them to do. We should be intentional in raising them because our God has a purpose for them. And our goal as parents is to do everything we can to ensure that our children walk and live according to that purpose. In addition to Genesis chapter 1 and 1 giving us insight regarding humanity having a purpose, Genesis 1 and 2 tells us that Genesis 1 is as much about divine order as it is about creation. And part of our primary task as humans, as individuals created in the image of God, is to preserve that order. That order is so important. And it is important to realize that God's order for the family is articulated in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, in which it is stated, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And so the first thing we see here in Genesis 1, 27 is that both male and female are important to the family unit. Both male and female are required in raising a child. In fact, Genesis 1:28 takes this a little bit further in talking about divine order when it states that we are to be fruitful and multiply. So the first commandment that we find in Torah is that we have children. And verse 28 is tied to the natural order we previously mentioned in Genesis 1 and 2. It's tied because offspring, to maintain God's order, offspring can only come through natural measures. Offspring can only come when there is both male and female active. And so male and female are both required in raising a family. We see the importance of both male and female a little bit further when we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. You see, at the end of every creation day, it is recorded that God said, "And it is good." But here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, God says, "It is not good." And so what is it that's not good in Genesis chapter 2 and 8? It is not good that man should be alone. It is not good that there was not a family. And we have to understand that this declaration, this wasn't Adam who declared that it was not good. It wasn't Adam who walked around and saw that he didn't have somebody and said, "Well, this isn't good." Instead, this declaration that it is not good came from man. From God. And so we see, first and foremost, that we have to teach our children that they have a purpose. And we have to teach our children that that purpose is in God. And we have to understand that this isn't something that's only supposed to be done by one individual. This is something that is supposed to be done by both male and female, by both mom and dad. But it's not enough to just tell kids their purpose. We have to create an environment that they not only can survive in, but an environment in which they can thrive. And one of the best passages of Scripture describing how to protect the family environment is found in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis 1, if you remember, we were told to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, and have dominion. And one of those things that we're supposed to have dominion over, or one of those things that God said humanity was supposed to have dominion over, was every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so when we fast forward to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, one of the first things we have to realize, or one of the first things that we notice, rather, is that the serpent is referred to as a beast of the field. And the first reason why this is important is because as a beast of the field, he is in the category of that very thing, or one of those things that we're supposed to have dominion over, everything that creepeth upon the earth. And so man was supposed to have dominion over the serpent. The second thing that we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, is that the serpent is referred to as a beast of the field. Why is this important? Because the field is something different from the garden. It appears that the field was a place that was separate from the garden. When we look at the field in the Hebrew language, the field a lot of times is characterized by a place that is chaotic, a place that is without order, a place that is not well kept. In distinction to that, the garden is a place that is maintained. A garden is a place that is kept. A garden is a place in which man instills order. And so what that means for me today is I may not have control over what happens outside of my house. I may not have control over what happens at Walmart, but as a man, as a father, as an individual, I should have a say. I should have control over what happens in my home. Not everything should be allowed in my home. In fact, when we look at Genesis 3 as it moves forward, one of the first things that is highlighted when I read the text is that Eve is talking to the serpent with some level of comfortability. The comfortability in the conversation between Eve and the serpent implies, at least to me, that it seems like this is not the first time that the serpent was in the garden. Instead, Eve likely talked to the serpent on many occasions, and because Eve talked to the serpent on many occasions, there was a level of comfortability that was there between Eve and the serpent. And so the problem with comfortability of things that are not in alignment with God is that rather than producing godly revelation, we produce deception. And so comfortability to things that are not of God opens the door to deception. We can see a modern day example of this in an article that I read. I recently read an article in which a famous Hollywood producer stated that they won the war on a particular lifestyle by making individuals fall in love with and become comfortable with the character. And people became so comfortable with this particular person or this particular character that they not only accepted the character, but they accepted the lifestyle, and they were able to push their agenda through creating comfortability with a character. We also see this highlighted in a book, Thou Shalt Prosper, written by Daniel Lappin. In the book, he talks about the disdain for business that is found within the American culture today and the disdain for business persons. He highlights the primary reason, or one of the pushes for this comfortability, or rather this disdain for businessmen, is because when you look at movies from the 90s onward, and when you look at series, television series from the 90s onward, and you look at comic books and all of these things, the number one villain that is used over and over again inside of these particular settings is a businessman, a business owner, a businesswoman. And so because you can frame a narrative, because you can push certain things, deception comes in. And one of the problems with deception is that it leads to wrong choices. Now, it's one thing to be deceived about something that doesn't have eternal consequences, and it's a completely different thing to be deceived by something that carries with it eternal consequences. And so wrong decisions are a byproduct of deception. And the problem with wrong decisions is wrong decisions are sin. And sin doesn't only affect the individual. Sin is infectious and it spreads to others. Again, we see this in the case of Adam and Eve. First, it is Eve that is deceived, and then the next thing you know, Adam is taking a bite of the fruit as well. And it's not only Eve and Adam that have to deal with the consequences. Instead, every single human born after Adam has to deal with this. And so Romans tells us that all have sinned. Why have all sinned? Because of Adam's first sin, because of the deception that was there. Sin is infectious. And so as parents, we need to ensure that we are constructing an environment that is conducive to our children walking in their purpose, because sin creates a barrier between you and God. We see this explained in Genesis chapter 3, in which the Bible records that Adam and Eve used to walk with God in the cool of the day. They were used to his presence. But after they were deceived, after they sinned, they then hid themselves from God's presence. And so it created a barrier. But another way that we can look at this, or another passage of scripture that clearly articulates this, is James chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. The Bible says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bring forth death." And so the death that James is talking about here is not merely our physical death. Instead, what James is talking about here is the ultimate death, and that is separation from God for eternity. And so we need to ensure again that there is a safe environment for our families, one that they can thrive in. And so as we conclude today, one of the things that I want to point out is that family was designed by God to fulfill a purpose. And the purpose carries with it important roles and things, tasks that we have to do. And so as parents, we have to care for our children. We have to protect our children, and we have to nurture our children. Additionally, we have to teach them the rules and the regulations of the world in which we live. But we also have to rear our child in faith in Christ. And we have to tell them that God has a purpose for them, that purpose is found in the Word of God. And we have to create an environment in which they can succeed, in which they not only can survive, but they can thrive in what God has called them to do. Thank you for joining me on this episode of All Things Apostolic. I look forward to seeing you next time.